It was a windy morning in downtown Houston. A salesman was pressing for time to make an appointment. Due to lacking of parking spaces, he was around. I'm sure some of those of you that have been in Houston try to find a parking space in downtown Houston is an adventure all in itself. He finally finds one three blocks away from his destination. He gets off the car, and by then the sidewalk is bustling. He's got pedestrian traffic going either way. So he walks quickly through those blocks that he has to, and he's finally to his last block before he has to go and turn to get to his destination. And while he's walking briskly, he sees a lady that's struggling to put some boxes that has files into her trunk, and manages to several of them to fall down. There's papers all over the place, and it's kind of windy, but he didn't stop. He just kept on going. He said, gotta make it to my appointment. He walks through the corner and he takes a left. So he walks, he keeps on walking, maybe a half a block, and he's in a business area, and he looks at his destination. He said, oh, this is the address. This is before Google, by the way, or your phone or anything like that. So he's walking towards there, and there's a lady coming the opposite direction to him, and she looks at him, makes eye contact to him. He said, you should have helped her. And he stood there, froze, and she walks by, and he turns around. She ain't there. And he says, what? So he goes to the corner where he turned off, and he looks both ways. She isn't there again. Well, there at that moment, he realized that he was tested and that he failed the test. Now, you can say, well, that's a pretty good story, Mark. And, well, that was a message that was given by a church member years ago. Without showing hands, brethren, how many of us can say that we've been tested? And by the way, that's the only person that could realize that he was tested was a churchman. Anybody else would have just laughed. Forget it. The title of my sermonette, brethren, is Being Tested. Situation will arise that tests our Christianity, brethren. I know lots of people can say that, you know, when you get on the freeway, right? Being maybe some of you might know, but I was a women's softball coach. You've heard of the state, practice makes perfect. But in softball, there's perfect practice makes perfect. Whatever you do in practice, you're going to do in the game, plain and simple. Situation their practice we go through, and then it's just ground balls. And you would see in some practice, a warm-up, the coach is just hitting the ball and the girls just picking it up and throwing. All that is a technique. All that is, those girls that do that have had probably 150, 200, 500 ground balls hit at them to get that one, two, and step and throw. And it's what it is one, two, three, right? But it's, you try to get it all into a one, it's just one smooth technique. And you have to have your eye on the ball and follow the ball through the glove. Again, if you don't do that, you're not going to do that in the game. That simple. Our calling, by the way, is not a game. Our calling is for real, and the stakes are high. Satan wants us not only to fail, but he wants us to give up. Throw our glove down on the ground, walk off the field of life. Just give it up. I'm here to say, brother, never, never, never give up on something that's worthwhile. Our crown is worthwhile. I'm going to give you 2 points. There are more, but two for now. Point number one is sympathy. That is hard. Having sympathy for those who need is more important than just what you know. It's easy to have sympathy within us, right? Within the church. It's our comfort zone. But how about God challenges us every once in a while to break away from our comfort zone? Let's go to Luke. 10th chapter of Luke. You can tell I've used this Bible. And as most of you already know, this is the parable of the Good Samaritan. Let's read that first one. It says, in verse 30, it says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell up into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Let's jump over to verse 33. You know, this is after a priest and after a Levite walked by him. I can say those guys knew the scriptures, didn't they? And it says, but a Samaritan as he traveled came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity. The operative word is pity on him. He took pity on him. I'll read you a story, brother, or tell you a story, another story. This is some article I read. And it's in the top of the article. It says, janitor turns into unsung hero. This janitor had just been hired in a nursing home. And he had only been working there a couple of weeks when he comes in. And he had never worked in a nursing home. He had worked in a school district, but he never worked in a nursing home. He comes in and he finds there's a note on the door. And it says, something about business. And he said, what? So he notices there's people inside, and he walks in, and then he finds out that there's residents inside the nursing home. But they haven't been taken care of. And some of them are screaming for the medications, and some of them are just wandering. So he goes to the head where the nurses are, and there's nobody there. He goes to the office, nobody there. There's nobody there. And these people have been already for a couple of days with nobody taking care of them. They lost their license, the nursing home lost their license, and everybody didn't either left or didn't go, could report to work. And for several days, he was taking care of the nursing, the elderly, changing their soles, diapers, changing their bed sheets, bathing them, turning them over for the ones that are. He asked his girlfriend to come and help him. This is after he called 911. And she cooked, and while he fed them, 19 residences. After the whole ordeal was finished, always the media comes and he sticks a microphone in. Says, what compelled you to do this? You know, you didn't have to do it. You did it. You weren't paid. And he said something that was very familiar. He felt bad. He felt pity, the word pity, on them, so I helped them. Now, was this man a Kagwa member or any church? No, he wasn't. Was he even a Christian? Doesn't say. But the operative word, he took pity on him. Now, as for us, brethren, we know that judgment is on the house of God or Israel. But in order to get judgment, you have to have been educated, right? That's why we're here. That's why we go to the feast. That's what we do, Bible study. We get educated on God's principles and God's way of life. But also, we get tested, don't we? You get tested. When I was in school, I got tested on certain chapters of something I read. So I got tested to see what I knew. Anyway, that's 1 Peter 4:17, if you're following. That's what it was. Now, brother, plain and simple, we get tested. And it's on sympathy point number one. Do we have it? And we will be tested on it. If we're sympathetic, we probably not get tested on it. We'll get tested on some other items, weaknesses that we have. Point number two is duty. Plain and simple. It's our duty to be step into the light. We're the light of this world, so it's our duty to do the right thing. James 1, verse 12 says, God promised a crown for those who stood the test. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians, brother. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 4. Paul, the Thessalonica. And verse 4, it states, of chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians, it says, on the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God, who tests our heart. To be sympathetic sometimes is not worldly, right? Well, you can fake it. You know, you've seen people that fake it. Well, I'm donating and make sure everybody on television shows that they're donating to a certain cause. But, you know, we know as Christians that we don't let the right hand know what the left hand's doing. In matter of fact, we do get tested. James 1, 26 to 27. It says, whoever calls himself religious, but can't hold their tongue. So he calls us out for that. If we have a weakness of, you know, loose cannon, well, he calls us out for that. And a matter of fact, the first three chapters of the book of James talks about testing us. And oddly enough, the book of James was for the lost tribes of Israel, right? Let's go, follow me to the 12th chapter of Mark. 12th chapter of Mark. And verse 31. Right now it's talking about the commandments, right? The first one, love your God with all your heart and all your soul, might. And the second, verses 31, says, and the second, love your neighbor as yourself. I don't know about you, brother, but I love myself. So just imagine, it doesn't depict, doesn't delineate, it doesn't specify, it says, love your neighbor. Helping someone, you say, well, I'm not in the means to be helping somebody. Well, you can. For instance, if my weakness is I'm not a giver, but say I go to a restaurant and the tab is $35, you might say, well, $3 ought to cover him. In reality, we know it's not. It doesn't. You know, it's more like 15 at least, right? 525, right? But if we're a Christian and if we can be able to, make his day. Whatever we're able to. It's like the offering, right? Make that man's day. If you make that man's day, he walks off better. He works with a little kick in his step. Some people say, you know, we said, good morning, ma'am. I just said a good morning in the store. And says, well, thank you. That's the first person that's ever talked to me all day. So you never know how you point your direction of kindness towards. And sympathy. You see somebody that's in need, you can say a prayer. It can just as simple as a prayer. Because at the end, brethren, at the end, whenever the umpire of life calls ball game, In whatever phase of your life it may be, you know, some people say, I'm going to live to be ripe old age of 90. And, well, that means I did a just life. Oh, no. Well, ask Jesus Christ how he was, or Peter, or any of the apostles. It would be better to be known as you made a difference in somebody's life rather than how much you knew. Brethren, fear God and keep his commandments.